Then.
Wee-hee-hill! It's 1930 UTC, which means it's time for another exciting episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe, I'm your host and chairman, and I'm sitting in my car. Where could we possibly be? You're never gonna guess. Well, maybe you would, and because if you guessed Harrenhaven, you'd be right. Let's get out. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, what are you doing in Harrenhaven? It's the middle of winter. It's Saturday, December 24th, or whatever. And wasn't it 5 degrees Fahrenheit 2 days ago? Yes. Yes, it was. It was 5 degrees Fahrenheit 2 days ago. That is a very cold temperature, especially for our little Tobster to be walking around outside. But today, it is all of about 42 to 45 degrees. It is sunny. All the snow from Winter Storm Decima, or whatever stupid name they gave it, all the snow has melted. That storm was pretty wimpy. And so yes, I'm at Harrenhaven, and I'm walking into the forest right now. All the leaves are down. I don't know what or if we're gonna see anything. The dragonfly pond looks like it's kind of frozen over, but, you know, not totally frozen over anymore. And that one, that little pond is kind of weird. It doesn't freeze over fast just because, well, it's really low. It's hard to explain. And the sun likes to hit it. And, hey, what's on top of that? Oh, it's just a rock or something. Being as there's no leaves on anything and everything's just brown sticks, I can see all the way through the forest and I can see the beehives. And there's two bricks on the beehives. And I thought, oh, I wonder if that's a mati on the beehive, but no. Now, you know what else you're thinking? You're thinking, oh, aren't matis hibernating? Well, yeah, technically, in some places, some marmots are probably hibernating, but that doesn't always happen in Harrenhaven. It's a really warm day. There's no snow on the ground. There is still some green ivy on the ground and stuff that matis could be eating. So there is a chance that we could see a marmot today. And I'm looking. The odds are kind of against it, but it could still happen. All right, so I'm approaching some more water here. I'm walking up the little path that leads out to the boardwalk. And I'm coming up to the sub pond. Oh, who's in there? Oh, it's just a squirrely. And now I can get up close to the ice. Yeah, the ice is really wet, as is to be expected. But looking down, I can see it's thick. Yeah. There's bubbles in the ice, and I can see the depth of the ice, and it's a good 4 or 6 inches, a good 15 centimeters. So I have walked out onto the ice of the sub pond. I'm just standing here, okay. And it's frozen right up to the edge of the pond. That's good. That's the most dangerous part, where the water gets shallow, you know, coming up to the bank. Obviously, that's where the ice is going to be thinnest, because that's where the water is the shallowest. And when the ice is that thin, that's where it can break. And if it breaks there, it can cause cracks that go, that run. And so then you can destroy the integrity of your better ice, if that is in fact the case. So you have to watch yourself. But it looks like we're good there. I'm now stepping onto the boardwalk, walking on out here. And what do I see? Nothing. It is all just frozen ice. Yeah. And this is a lot easier to get onto sometimes, and is safer because you can step right off the boardwalk onto the ice. Yeah, and it's plenty thick. I'm not on it, I'm just looking at it. and I can see into the depths. It's chunky. It's thick ice. Now, over here further, it looks like, is that open water? Is it open water over here in the deep? Or is that just water on the surface of the ice that's being blown by this wind? I think it might just be surface water. As I get closer, I can see that it clearly is. Now we're gonna get some funky ice. The sun is melting the surface. Probably refreeze. Well, actually, I think I saw on Weather Channel that it's supposed to be pretty warm for a couple days. Look, the ice right there is at least 4 inches thick. Call it 8 centimeters. I can see all the way out under the pond. There's no dudes anywhere. There's no duckies. There's no goosers. There's nothing. And I can look back into the little side channels. And that's the best place to go, but we are not going there today. Once everything freezes over, you can get back into all these other little hidden ponds that you normally can't get to. And that's the best part of the ice, or the funnest part of having ice, is, you know, you can access areas that you normally can't get to. You can't walk to them over land because it's all foresty. And this is another good example right here. I'm walking off the boardwalk and looking back into this back pond. It looks like it's pretty much frozen. There's no dudes back there. No, nothing. Do-do-do. All right, so walking kind of back into the forest here. The reason I'm not spending as much time as I'd like to on the ice is just because of my shoes. I don't know if these are the best shoes to be sloshing around in the water. There's so much water on the ice that I don't want to get my feet wet and frozen cold. And you've heard me complain about that issue before. So anyway, right now we're kind of staying on the driest bits. Because there's no snow or anything. I'm just walking along on the gravel. Do-do-do-do-do. Lots of dead leaves. All right, looking out over the billabong here. Yeah, it's nice and frozen over. Looks like the edges are good, so we have good edge integrity. I'm not gonna walk out there either, because it's all very wet. And I'm walking along the side of Turtle Bay here. And yeah, it's just all ice, and this is all real shady. I wonder if this is, it's not very wet on top. But it's very mossy. All the moss is on the surface of the ice. Very cool. There's no real good way to get down there, though. And I'm looking for dudes. I have seen muskrats swim around under the ice. And I've also, well, not here, but I've also seen turtles swimming under ice out at my friend Travis's. As you'll remember, Travis lives out on a farm, which is actually a vineyard. And there's a big pond, and that freezes over. And you can see big snappers cruising around under the ice. And it's kind of weird. I mean, you wouldn't think they'd be doing that, but, you know, snappers. All right, I hear a bird. Rah, rah, rah. So there's some kind of life going on around out here. And I'm going to cross the footbridge that overlooks the turtle reproduction pond. And it is just ice frozen over. Nobody's out there. You know, I'm kind of wishing there was some snow, because when there's snow, obviously you can see lots of tracks. And once you can see tracks, then you know what kind of dudes are running around. In this case, there are no dudes running around, or at least tracks. I think I was getting raccoons in my house yesterday, or at my house yesterday. Last night I heard some noises. Alright, so we're walking into the blind here, and oh, look at that. I can see some ducks. There's two male mallards and one female mallard out by the delta where it doesn't freeze over because the water's moving too much. It's the only dudes here. Although, over on this side of the pond where it doesn't get as much sun, I can see all kinds of duck tracks in the snow that's on top of the ice. So, that's awesome. We should go out there and start walking around on the ice up to those. Hey, duckies, come here. I want you to be my ducky friend. Yeah, so me and three ducks. The only thing doing anything here at Heron Haven today. It's not super exciting, but, you know, we're gathering information. We've got good ice already. Hooray, because we had those days that were so freaking cold. We had a few of them in a row. I didn't know if we would get that much ice that fast. Squirrels are throwing stuff at me again. How rude. But, you know, that's squirrels for you. I'm going to look up this hill. See if there's anything going on up there. No. Not finding or seeing any dudes, but you know, it's kind of to be expected. Since it is pretty much, what, I guess technically, this is the third day of winter. See, in my mind, this is the middle of winter. Winter in Nebraska starts pretty much in November. Or in the beginning of November, sometimes a little bit earlier. Sometimes a little bit later. But yeah, there's not much going on here at Heron Haven today. But the good news is we've got ice. So, I gotta get some better ice shoes. What I really want are some green wellies. You ever heard of these? Green wellies are Wellington boots, presumably named after Lord Wellington. I don't know, maybe he invented them or maybe he had them made. Who knows? But Wellington boots are almost always green. And people refer to them as green wellies. And when I say people, I do of course mean people of the Commonwealth. In England, they are called green wellies. And I think in Australia and other, you know, places that used to be part of the English Empire. In America, if you call them green wellies, nobody will know what you're talking about. But then again, they won't know what you're talking about if you ask for Wellington boots either. And what these boots are is they're just sort of a calf-high boot that is just rubber and watertight. People wear them for gardening because you get them dirty and just hose them off. That kind of thing. And so, I was thinking, oh, I gotta get some so that when I have water on the ice, I can still go sliding around on the ice without getting my feet wet. And you know, I could probably order some and have them shipped over from England or wherever they need to come from. But that would cost money and I don't want to spend any money because I don't have any money. Money, money. And I don't really need any green Wellington boots. What I will do, probably when I come out here to play on the ice, I will wear a pair of old shoes and put plastic bags on my feet. I'll put plastic bags on my feet and then put my shoes on over that so I have a water barrier. All right, we're walking back towards, we're past the kiosk and the shed. No Mati's in the under the shed today. Back to my car. We're gonna jump in my car. We're gonna head back to my house. And you won't have to hear me drive, but I will go look for turkeys to see if there's any turkeys on the turkey street. Back into my car. Let's go home in 3 seconds. 3, 2,
two,
one, zero. Here we are, back in the garage. Open the door to my house. Let's see. Nobody's in here to greet me. That's okay. Take off my old shoes here. And let's head up into the kitchen. Oh, no, wait. Well, I don't know. Let's go into the studio instead. I need to put the rice on or something. Oh, I guess we can start the rice a little bit later. And I just realized that I hope the wind noise didn't destroy today's recording while I was at Heron Haven, but oh well. The important thing that I needed to tell you that I forgot about until just now is, you know, I've had a pretty productive day. I had to get up early again. And I went and met my doctor so he could fill out and sign some forms that I need. Because my doctor is retiring, and that gives me a lot of stress, but no matter. I guess everybody gets to retire, so I shouldn't be complaining. So I went and I got the forms, and then I went to the grocery store. And that was nice and productive. You know, just bought a bunch of the usual stuff. Rice, waffles, and I got something else. Nothing fun, nothing good, no donuts. What else did I buy? I bought a whole load of junk. Rice, waffles, oh, hamburger. And I guess that was about it. But when I got home, I, you know, was settling in, and guess what was on TV? You're never going to believe this. As a matter of fact, I couldn't believe it at all. I was, you know, I was like, well, I got to check my football channels to see if any football is on. Because, you know, because of Christmas and stuff, there's no English Premier League. English Premier League starts back up on Boxing Day, and there's 8 games on Boxing Day. And then for the next 2 weeks, there's like 3 or 4 game weeks. It's crazy. So I thought, oh, I know there's no football on, but I better check anyway. And so I went and I checked on my football channels, and guess what was on instead? Cricket. Can you believe this? There was actually a cricket game. This is probably only the 4th cricket game I've ever seen on TV in my entire life, and I got really excited, obviously. And so I sat down and watched it, and it was the Sixers versus the Thunder. That's right, this was not test match cricket, this was not ODI cricket, this was T20 Big Bash League. Now this takes some a little bit of explaining, but cricket as a whole is a game that takes a very long time to play. A single cricket test match will take 5, 6, 7, or 8 days to play, and that's, you know, playing for like 6 or 7 hours a day. Yeah, it takes a long time to play. And so this is logistically weird. Like, how are you going to put this on TV? How are you going to make any money off of it? Well, in the century and a half of cricket that's been going on, anyways, people have reduced cricket. There are shorter versions of test cricket. There is ODI, which is One Day International, which is a game that only takes a day to play, about 8 hours to play. Well, you know, you still can't put that on TV. So a few years ago in Australia, they figured out, hey, what if we had T20? What if we played a really short game that was only about 3.5 or 4 hours long, about the same length as an American baseball game or an American football game? And so, yeah, they invented this league called the Big Bash League, where they play this extremely short game of cricket, which is, it's kind of tough to figure out who won the game. When you don't, you know, pitch all the balls and when you don't have all the outs, it kind of doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense, but it doesn't really have to. And so a lot of the strategy of a 5-day cricket match goes right out the window, and this game basically becomes just hit the ball as hard as you can, as far as you can, and just get as many points as you can as fast as possible. Hence the name Big Bash League. Just, it's like, it's kind of like a home run derby in baseball, if you know what that is, where it's just hit the ball as hard and try to hit it over the line, get your 6 points, whatever. And so This has actually gotten kind of popular, and pretty popular, in Australia. And these games will sell out, and people go nuts, and it's just, like I said, not much strategy to it anymore, just smack it. And I kind of think that this form of cricket might work in America, because what do Americans want to see? They just want to see lots of scoring in sports, and that's why basketball is 120 to 121 at the end, you know, and that's why everybody wants to see high-scoring football games and all this crap. And I think it would be as popular or more so than baseball, because in baseball, you want to see the guys hit home runs, but baseball is a pitcher's game. There's more strikeouts than there are runs ever, right? But not in cricket. You know, there are no strikes in cricket. You just keep hitting the ball until you get out. And so, why doesn't this work in America? I should bring it to America. This is how I could make billions of dollars. Because these games end up being 150 runs to 148 runs. They tend to be close games. And they are very high scoring because it's just hit the damn ball, you know. And so that's what I got to watch today. A game from Australia from the Big Bash League. It's great. Basically, how it works is each team gets 60 balls pitched to them, and however many points you get, that's what you're going with. So one team gets up first, and today it was the Thunder. The Thunder was up, and they got 159 runs for 8 wickets. And so then the Sixers were up, and they have to get, you know, 159 runs in, you know, so many balls. Did I say 60 balls? I meant 120 balls. And so to win, the team that was up to bat second had to get at least 159 runs in 118 balls or less with a run rate of 8.052 per over or something like that. Yeah, it gets a little technical. There's some statistics involved. It's pretty wacky, and it gets wacky because it's this weird short form. But again, like I said, nobody cares. Now, the funny thing of this is that the Big Bash League is sponsored by none other than Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, Kentucky in America, that state where apparently cricket is huge. Yeah, so the main sponsor for Big Bash League cricket is Kentucky Fried Chicken. And along all the hoardings and all the advertising in the cricket stadium, there's that picture of the colonel, except in Australia, he's got a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head. And that's how they advertise it in the cricket league. And so every kid who is, you know, at this game, and they show them all the time, they are also wearing Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets on their heads. And they're really happy about it. And it's not just the kids. There are adults wearing chicken buckets on their head. I don't know how this happens. Is every kid getting a free bucket of chicken when they walk into the game? Or is everybody just eating so much chicken? I don't know. I think they're just giving away these buckets to kids. Here, wear this on your head. You know, kids will do anything. And then, of course, they pan the camera through the crowd and you see these groups of kids cheering and losing their minds. And they got these stupid buckets on their head. But anyway, it was a great game. I didn't get to see all of it because I had to do more stuff, but that's neither here nor there. And of course, this wasn't a live game. At first I thought, wait, is this live? No, it can't be. This is from Australia. It's the middle of night in Australia right now. And sometimes now that I know that Big Bash is going, I will stay up late at night so I can watch live cricket scores come in over the internet. But that's neither here nor there. The game that they showed was truncated or condensed, where they sort of took out any boring parts. And so, you know, the score would be 6, or it would be, you know, like 120 for 6 wickets. And then they would go to a commercial, and then when they come back, somehow magically the score is now 136 for 6 wickets, and they show the guy batting, and oh, he hits another sixer. And so, yeah, it was kind of a condensed version, But that's okay. You know, I understand that you're airing this in America and you gotta edit out the boring parts so Americans can see all of the high scoring action of Big Bash cricket. And that's all right. As much as I'd like to watch, you know, the whole damn thing, I'll take what I can get. I realize I'm living in America where cricket is a bug that, you know, makes noise and not a sport. So, you know, that's okay with me. A regular cricket game, like a test match, one of these 5 or 6 day games, most of the scoring is just these little one run hits. The ball will bounce off the bat where there's no guys and there'll just be one run. And this happens over and over and over again over that period of days. And that's the difference in Big Bash cricket. You know, they're not going for these one run shots. They're smacking the ball as hard as they can, trying to hit boundaries. And a boundary is like a home run in baseball, in the sense that the batter has hit the ball out of the playing field, out of the park, so to speak, right? But since there's no runners, you know, in cricket, there's just two batsmen. If the batter hits the ball over the boundary in the air, and the boundary is just a line, it's a rope that encircles the entire field. If the ball is hit over the boundary in the air, that's an automatic 6 runs. If the ball is hit and it rolls or bounces over the boundary, that's an automatic 4 runs. And so that's what they're going for in Big Bash League. They're not playing strategic hits to get 1 or 2 runs here and there. They are just smacking the ball as hard as they can, going for the boundary, going for sixers, going for 4s every single time. And of course, this is what people love. This is what people came to see. And so, boom, the ball goes flying into the crowd. Yeah, people going nuts. Yeah, boom, the ball goes rolling over the rope. Ah, people going nuts. It's pretty fun. It's an interesting form of cricket that I honestly believe will appeal to American players. So if you like sports, you might want to look up T20 cricket or Big Bash League in Australia. You can learn all about it. You can see some games online. Maybe you should stream some of it. Because the other thing about Big Bash is the uniforms. Traditionally, in cricket, the uniform is known as whites. These are just, this is a uniform that has white pants and a white shirt, and you wear a white sweater vest over your shirt, and you wear a white cap or a white helmet, depending on what you're doing. And so, you know, you can do a search for cricket whites on the computer, and you'll see the traditional uniform. But in Big Bash and other short forms of cricket, the uniforms are a little more different. And in Big Bash, they are, you know, psychedelic colors, black and fuchsia, bright fluorescent pink, or green and yellow, and the hats match, and there's advertising and sponsors on the uniform, so that, you know, you got brand names on the shirts and stuff, and down the pant leg and stuff like that. That's kind of the sellout form of cricket. They're trying to make money here. That's why they shortened the game. This is not the traditional English game. It's the commercial money grab, the cash grab. Give the people what they want. Make them smack hits. Make it the game shorter. Charge people a boatload. Sell advertising space on the uniforms and make the kids wear Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets on their heads. It's wacky. It's fun. What do I know? Who am I, you might ask? Well, my name is Tobe, and I'm the chairman of the Dubious Cricket Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon.